Cutting out hearts with a stone knife wasn't as easy as it sounded. After he had done three, and Felicidad had done three, Don Hector called a water break. He went to the side of the pyramid top, where one of those picnic tables with a parasol sprouting from the middle of it had been erected. It wasn't exactly traditional, but who knew there wasn't going to be sun today? The cacique knew that he and his chosen consort would need breaks. Also, he didn't want his extra special guest to pass out from sunstroke before he had watched all his loyal retainers and his foreign female guests offer to the gods. Don Tenorio had to be fresh for when his turn came. The gods didn't want any wilted lettuce. Hector joined him under the parasol. As were Christy and Mildred, the alcalde was clad in a lightweight robe made out of salvaged bedsheets. He wasn't bound.
You seem to have flooded the city with all your forces and some of your citizens.
Not all. Still, the ceremony is much more appropriate for the presence of an enthusiastic throng, don't you think? Your people are as yet unwilling to cooperate, so I was forced to import a throng.
What if the Chichimecs choose to attack your domain?
I have no fears. I controlled the Chichimecs all along. Nezahualcoyotl was my agent from the outset. I sent him among them, first to confirm reports of the Holy Child, then to manipulate the child, and through him, all of them.
Why?
To achieve my destiny, I needed a united valley. How better to attain that than manufacture a menace? I could at once crush my foes and demonstrate to the scattered peoples of the valley that only by pulling together under my protection could they be saved.
The cacique took a swig from a blue plastic sippy bottle bearing the logo of El Instituto Atletico Blue Demon, a legendary pre-dark martial arts studio. He held it out to Tenorio.
Water?
The structural steel bones of the building groaned as the half-skyscraper shook around them. The Jaguar Knights paused and glanced up as dust and flecks of insulation drifted down from the ceiling. Ryan felt his face muscles go taut. He remembered reading in a book once about quake swarms. If he didn't know better, he'd swear things were building up to a major bone shaker. He looked back at Doc. The older man's eyes were wide. He, Doc, and three Jaguar Knights were exiting a stairwell onto the eighth floor of a building that once had more than 20 and now didn't run past 11. It should put him on a level just a bit higher than the top of the pyramid, 300 yards away. Also, this level had no windows intact on the side facing the plaza. It was primo sniper turf and had been picked accordingly. For that same reason, Hector or his sec boss may have thought to secure it. They deployed into a line abreast, with a Jaguar Knight armed with an MP5 on Ryan's right, Doc with his Lama to Ryan's left, and to his left, the other two scavvies, one carrying a second MP5, the other a big Spaz 12-gauge Riot scatter gun that could fire either semi-auto or pump action. The level had been an office. Everything of obvious value had long since been salvaged. There were still a few desks, too bulky, heavy, and common to be worth salvaging for anything but their metal, and fiberboard dividers, chest high on Ryan and shoulder high on most of the scabby commandos, that still partitioned the big room into rows of workstations. The line moved forward, quietly but quickly. The sun was up, and from the roar of the crowd outside, the party had begun. They had crossed halfway to the warm breeze blowing in the wall-size opening where the glass had gone, that already smelled of hot blood and burnt human flesh, when a figure popped up from behind a cubicle. Before even Snakefast Ryan could react, a brilliant ruby lance stabbed out. An uneasy murmur ran through the audience, whose backs were to the men skulking in the shadows of the office building's ground floor.
Now I really don't like it. These valley mexes don't usually bother to notice your little old seismic disturbances unless the earth opens up at their feet and there's lava seeping under the door or something.
Tatnap!
There had been a pair of sec men stationed in the lobby who had been preoccupied elbowing each other and grinning at the swell spectacle of people having their bodies carved open and their hearts yanked out. They now lay in spreading pools of blood with flies crawling on their eyeballs, grinning through second mouths. The Jaguar Knights understood the making and use of garrotes, a fine, strong wire strung between two wooden handles. A loop rolled over the victim's head from behind, a knee in the small of the back, the handles yanked to the sides with savage force. Properly done, the garrote didn't choke, it cut. The two jokers had had their throats severed to the spine before they'd known what had hit them. JB, Jack, and the other three Jaguar Knights, including Reno Espinosa, were poised to drive through the crowd to try to rescue Christy and Mildred when Ryan opened the ball. It would have been more feasible had they actually been able to work their way closer. They couldn't. JB and Jack were small enough not to stand out among the locals, but their pale skins would give them away at once. Since there weren't any guys out there wearing hoods, mingling was out of the question. So, all they could do was hunker down and wait. They and Ryan both had talkies, although whether they'd work or not was a crapshoot, what with all the structural steel around and the lightning that was beginning to crackle through the threatening clouds overhead. One way or another, when the time came, they'd rush out and just hose their way through the crowd to the pyramid. Jack still carried the auto-loading shotgun taken off the dead Chichimec, and these knights also packed two subguns and a scattergun among them. For his part, JB reckoned his borrowed BAR would prove to be an excellent people mover. In case it didn't work, he had both his Uzi and his Smith & Wesson M4000 shotgun strapped to the overstuffed rucksack on his back. They had made a quick trip by Tenorio's HQ to collect their effects, efficiently and without loss, murdering a skeleton crew of Hector's SecMen in passing. The armorer even had Mildred's ZKR-551 hand blaster and her personal effects stuffed into the backpack.
What the?
A grand, overhead.
Shit!
Right. Trouble?
No shit!
There was nothing to do but wait until they got the signal to move, or until they decided the others had been taken out, and it was up to them to do or die. The Jaguar Knight to Doc's left went flying backward, flung in a way no bullet could accomplish by the explosive jetting of flash-boiled blood from his chest. His MP5 chattered, stitching a ragged line in the acoustic tiles overhead. The Eagle Knight had prudently dropped out of sight the instant he had fired. No targets presented themselves. With stealth off the table, the four survivors pulled frag grenades from their pockets or belts, yanked the pins, and tossed the bombs. As soon as he let his grin fly, the Jag to Ryan's right crab walked rapidly to the right side of the room and then ran forward with his machine pistol shouldered. The other just jumped up onto the workstations and began jumping from row to row over the tops of the dividers, his combat scattergun at his shoulder as well. The Eagle Knight sprang up, quick but unsteady on his bare muscular legs. Blood poured from the black pit where his right eye had been. He raised his right arm. The laser flared and cracked. Two pellets low punched neat little holes in his opposite number's six-pack stomach. The half-blinded Eagle Knight staggered backward a step. The Jaguar Knight jumped down and fired another shot into the chest protector. The Jaguar Knight blasted out three more quick shots, scouring the molded plastic away from the curved steel ceramic plate, which was the real armor. Each shot hammered the Eagle Knight another step backward, the last into open air. As he vanished with a wild scream, Ryan understood. A SecMan popped up like a prairie dog, aiming an M1 carbine at the scattergunner. Doc happened to be right across the divider from him. The blast of the shorty shotgun barrel on his hand blaster tore the fun off the man's head and sent fire to what was left. The man fell thrashing like a speared trout. Then the other Jaguar Knight was at the last line of cubicles, firing quick bursts from the flank into whatever SecMen were left functioning. Ryan ran forward to take up shooting position in the open window wall. The building was shaking again, not stopping this time, and the sky outside seemed to be growing darker. Ryan ignored it. He reached the edge, just had time to note with mingled fury and relief the unmistakable form of Christy standing atop the pyramid and Mildred's shorter form upright beside her. Then a flash lit the faces of the buildings to his left.
Shit!
The top of the pyramid was shaking as if about to fall right out from under the gathering at the very top. The rumbling from the volcanoes was much louder than the roar of the crowd. The priest's eyes were starting to roll inside their blood-caked faces, but Hector and Felicidad didn't seem to notice. Nothing was going to spoil the occasion for them. A woman approached Mildred, who had been held 10 feet back from Christy, as the redhead was escorted to take her turn on the altar. The woman was wearing only a loincloth and a gold headdress that was quite modest by the standards of what Hector and Felicidad were sporting, and a liberal coating of lots of other people's blood. Only when she came quite close, walking carefully to keep from sliding in the blood that covered the whole top of the pyramid and dripped away down the steps, did Mildred recognize Maria Garza. Don Tenorio's housekeeper. She held an obsidian knife in her hand. Mildred felt her flesh shrink from the black blade, then realized she wasn't going to cut her.
I see you know me. Does it surprise you? You did not know I spoke your dog's tongue.
Shit, nothing surprises me anymore.
She moved behind Mildred and cut the ropes that bound her wrists. Mildred winced as she felt the superfine edge slice the skin of her left wrist.
It was I who gave the yerba mala to your rich friend. I myself let Don Hector and his men into Tenorio's residence. The fool never suspected.
She rose on tiptoe to speak into Mildred's ear.
And my reward will be eternal life.
You got that wrong, bitch.